back to the B-side. This is Adam, joined by Steve, as always.
Hey, what's up?
Are we ever going to do an episode where one of us is not here?
That makes really awkward conversations.
By yourself?
Yes.
You're like, hi, I'm Adam, joined by Adam.
That's the A-side, where one guy talks for 44 minutes without anyone talking.
Maybe it's the B-side.
That's the point of this, is it's not that.
Yeah.
It's come not, Sunday for the A-side.
It's not B-side myself, yes, to crack all the terrible puns.
Oh.
We are answering listener questions, which means we have listeners, so thank you for listening.
What?
I know, it's amazing.
Amazing.
My brother says it.
Amazing.
Amazing.
That's you amazing. Are illiterate.
No. What if he has a stutter? That would be rude.
I'm talking about you. I'm not talking about him.
Okay, that's fine then.
I've never met him.
Yeah, no, it's all good. Okay, question of the day. Do we have a word of the day yet? Maybe we'll figure one out as we go along.
Okay.
Question of the day. Are spiritual attacks a real thing? And why does it seem like when we are acting in obedience and growing in our faith, that's when the rest of life starts to fall apart?
Okay. A few parts there, right? So are spiritual attacks a real thing? And I would say yes. Yes, they are. But I think what we need to do here is find a biblical balance. Because I feel like when it comes to talking about, you know, evil powers, spiritual things, there's sort of pendulum swings, which are unhealthy. So some people seem obsessive about spiritual things, and there's angels and demons behind everything. You got a head cold, let's pray against it by the, you know, the demon. Everything is spiritual.
The mucus demon.
Yes, and you have to pray against the mucus demon. And on the other side, there are people who would lean towards seeing nothing as spiritual. So what does the Bible, what would the Bible have us do? And so, that's what we want to try and answer.
Good place to start.
Yeah, that's what we do here. So we would have to say, yes, there are such things. There are evil powers in the world who do want to prevent us from trusting and following God and obeying his word and worshiping Jesus. And for instance, here's a place to start among others. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So we see, yeah, there is a devil. He wants to devour people. And so that's true. But I note a couple things as we talk about spiritual powers. One, they can be resisted by the Christian. So it's very simple. Peter tells his listeners, resist him. You can, and they have that ability by being firm in your faith, it says, you can resist him. So yes, there are evil powers, but they are not omnipotent. They cannot control you. They cannot overpower you. They are able to be resisted. So yes, be wary, spiritual powers, but also take heart. You can resist them. Also, I notice that in this, God is still sovereign. The world is not a dualistic. Hey, word of the day, dualistic.
Dualistic?
The world is not a dualistic universe.
Now you have to explain it.
Where dualism would be two equal but opposite powers. There's good and there's evil, and they're stuck in an eternal war.
Star Wars.
Yeah. That dualism is Star Wars. It's kind of what it is really is Buddhism. Let's be honest, Star Wars, as much as I love it, is basically
Buddhism.
New age. It's sort of Zen Buddhism.
Space Buddhism.
Space Buddhism.
Space monks, not Jedis.
Yoda space is monks. Space Buddha. And
just shorter.
Yeah.
Greener.
Fat. So like, but in dualism, they're equal powers. So Satan and God, you could say, are in this eternal but equal struggle, and who's going to win, who knows. In fact, part of it is the struggle and the battle and the equal opposing, yeah. and that's sort of the yin and yang, all that sort of stuff.
Eternal tug of war.
That's not the Bible's teaching. Yeah. The Bible would say, yes, there are evil powers, but they are weak compared to God. God is still sovereign. Therefore, the application is they can never do anything which God does not allow. So it's not, oh no, there's a spiritual power. God does not have power here. No, no. Instead, I think some people so focus, the answer is to the, some people so focus on spiritual power, spiritual attacks. I think the Bible is going, yes, that's real. So keep your focus on God.
Yeah.
Keep firm in your faith, follow God. And so the answer to their spiritual attack or spiritual powers at play is not focus on that, which I think is the mistake. You become obsessive about yeah. that type of thing. The answer is be firm in your faith, focus on God. So now, but then the other thing I'd say, so yes, there are spiritual attacks. But what we're trying to do, it feels like this question is going, hey, part of my life is falling apart or there's these challenges. Is this spiritual attack? And I would say maybe. But let's think about it. There's some other reasons why you might feel like life is falling apart, like hard things are happening to you.
Yeah.
This passage, it's talking about suffering, and it's part of the your adversary is prowling around, and you're suffering, and other people are suffering, but take heart because God will overcome. It could also be God who can bring us into suffering for our good and for his glory. Perhaps, and there's a number of passages we could look at that God does this, that he may bring us through a hard situation because we learn and grow. We learn righteous character. We grow in our perseverance and faith through adversarial situations, through difficulty and suffering. You know, and anyone who's, if you think back through your own life or talk to people, it's through suffering, opposition, through challenges. It's through that health scare. It's through that difficult season that you learn to trust God. It's that you learned to pray. You know, no one on vacation, everything's going awesome. You've got more money than you need. Everything's beautiful, wonderful, health. People don't learn how to pray in that situation. You learn self-sufficiency, not God dependence. To see that situation,
right? If you'd like to challenge us on this, you can
Let's
send...
Let's test this thesis by sending me to Hawaii.
Yeah, send us to Hawaii with a catamaran, drink in hand, cruising around, maybe glass-bottom boat, and see if we can...
And ask us how our spiritual life did.
Right?
We learn character. We learn dependence on God through challenge and difficulty. And so sometimes God will bring us through these things for our good. Also, God is more glorified as we praise his name in suffering than he is in victory. You know, we were joking, so Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, win the Super Bowl.
I'm more impressed when Carson Wentz blows out his ACL and is out for the rest of the year and says, I'm going to trust Jesus. I believe he has a plan. I trust him even when this sucks. Then I am impressed when you win the Super Bowl and you say, I want to thank Jesus for winning. I'm more impressed when you thank Jesus when you lose and trust him when you lose than when you trust him and you thank him when you win. So, okay, it could be spiritual. It could be God bringing us through. Okay. Not that God tempts us, but God will bring us into situations of difficulty, not to harm us, but for our good.
For our betterment to ultimately glorify him.
And we could look at a dozen stories where that's true in the Bible and many more texts that talk about that. And that's why we consider it joy when we suffer, because we know it's for good, because God only brings good to us. But good can come packaged in difficulty. Also, a third thing I would say is that we live in a broken world where there's cancer, there's earthquakes. This world is not as it's supposed to be. And so there's things like abuse and violence and war. And we can be so quick to blame someone like, it's a spiritual thing, when the fact is we live in a world that is awaiting redemption. And so part of the human experience is you get a head cold, you can get cancer, there can be tragedy, accidents, violence, and these are awful. And God weeps with us and we go, where's God? What's he doing? Well, God sent his son and God is restoring and God is bringing us to the glorious future. So sometimes, you know, that's why I'm wary to go, oh, my life's falling apart or things are going really hard. Maybe it's spiritual. Maybe it's just we live in a broken world.
Yeah.
And not every sickness is demonic, right? Sometimes it's just this is another indication that the world is not as it should be. Come, Lord Jesus. So I would just say yes, spiritual attacks are real. Yes, but there's other things.
Yeah.
And I feel like I think we're distracted if we spend our energy focusing on why.
Mm-hmm.
And is this spiritual? Is this from God? Is this from the devil? Is this like we're trying to figure out what it could be rather than I think the right thing to do is focus on Christ, focus on growing, focus on praying, trusting, persevering through this rather than trying to, it's almost like we demand the answers of why. And I just don't know if that's helpful.
So spiritual attacks, any attacks on life, things falling apart, it's not about necessarily the source, but about the response and the heart of the matter.
Yeah, so that's exactly right.
Yeah.
And then I think, so thinking through that, the passage that comes to me is 2 Corinthians 12, because I think in this passage what we see is a bit of all three of those things going on.
It's a bit of a combination going on.
And so maybe it's not even, it's not such a nail it down and somehow that makes it easier. So here in this text, 2 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul, he just talked about, he had this amazing visionary experience where he was brought into heaven and these visions that really, he's like, I can't describe them. I can't tell you what they're like. So he's experiencing like a revelation type experience or the Old Testament, like an Ezekiel type, a Daniel type experience, a visionary experience of God. And so what happens is right after that, it says, chapter 12, verse 7, so to keep me from being too elated by the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh. And he never really says what the thorn is. Mm-hmm. It's metaphorical, and some people have speculated maybe some sort of illness. He suffered so much by this point in his life as far as like beatings, imprisonments. Some people go, maybe he's going blind, and I'm not going to rehearse all the arguments, but we don't know. Some sort of physical ailment.
My favorite Paul thorn would be Paul being Dr. House. The limp, the cane, the leg issue. Some of his comments are like, come on, get back in line, people. And a little harsh like House, but I don't think I can fully make the jump to say that Paul and House are the same type of guy.
Some sort of unspecified, seems to be physical ailment that he's struggling with, and Paul's says it was given him. Given, that implies the sovereignty of God. Given to him. And then it says, so a thorn was given me in the flesh, verse 7, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated.
Mm-hmm.
Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So what I see is Paul suffering physically, and it's kind of all three. It seems like it's from God. It's given him by God, is implied, given him with the purpose of his godliness, so that he would not be too elated,
proud.
To prevent him from pride, God is humbling him through some sort of physical issue. So there's sort of we live in a broken world, so it's a place where you go blind or have a limp or whatever it may be, or illness, sickness. And so stuff happens like that, broken world. But God is using it. It's given to him for his good and with purpose. And it's called a messenger of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a spiritual element, but that spiritual element is subservient to God's sovereignty and God's good purposes. So though Satan means it for evil, God is using it for good, means it for good even. I'll even say it's part of his good plan and sovereignty. And so all three are true.
Yeah.
And it's for his good. And then Paul comes to this place of recognizing and teaching us, actually, that that hardship's good for me. And in fact, praying and praying, God, take this from me. And God's saying, no, I'm going to give you the grace that you need.
It's also to encouraging persevere. To see, it's encouraging to see Paul's example that even though he sees this and understands that there's a humility aspect, he doesn't give up and say, oh, I shouldn't petition in prayer. I'll just deal with whatever comes my way.
Yeah, and he, so see he's praying about it.
His response is prayer and faithfulness and then boasting in the weakness to go, hey, all glory to be to God at the end of the day, no matter what
the circumstance. Ultimately, God says, my paraphrase is, God says, I can accomplish more through you weak than strong.
Mm-hmm.
You're more powerful to me in my service. You're going to be more successful in the best sense of that word with suffering, weakness. Because it's in that moment when you're weak, Christ is strong, implying that when you're strong, you're not dependent on Christ. And so he is not seen as strong. He's not working through you when you are trusting in yourself. So you're better off weak. That's when you're really strong.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the question, spiritual attacks real? Yes, but God is sovereign and God is working for our good.
Yeah.
Why does it feel like life falls apart when we're obeying? I don't, it's hard to speak in massive generalizations about all situations, but I would just remind us that sometimes life falling apart is God's gift to us for our sanctification. There's a nice word for our growth in holiness, our trust in him, our prayers, our obedience. Sometimes that's exactly the situation. We don't like it. It's not, I don't wish it on anyone. And I look back at my own life. It was some of the hardest journeys and seasons when I prayed desperately, trusted because I couldn't trust any, there was nothing else. I couldn't trust in myself. It was beyond me. And I had to trust God. And it's through trying situations that I learned perseverance and I learned patience and I learned faith when I had no other options. And I don't want to go through hard situations, but you look back and go, that was good for us.
Thankful for them.
I'm thankful for them.
And even in that, there's an added piece to it where as a believer, you have hope regardless how gloom the situation is. Because at the end of the day, Christ returns. We have full restoration in him.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Go on that. Thank you for listening to the B-Side. If you have more questions, we would love to chat them through, answer them. Email us, bside@tachurch.ca. We'll talk to you soon.